Today's unfiltered guest is a lady who has been destined to take the world of country music by storm, and that she has done. In the past couple of years, she has rose to stardom in the country music scene and has a viewing audience of 1.3 million, all while winning multiple music awards. It's the fabulous Cleona Hagen.
Thank you, Sergi, and delighted to be here.
You're so good. Cleona, tell us how you actually got into country music.
I actually started when I was about 10. I always would love singing around the house and really, really annoyed my two older sisters, which just really brought me such joy back at that time. But in all seriousness, I just love singing. And all throughout my school, I plays, I'd done every one of those. And then I suppose it was back in 2015. And before that, I was singing classical music, but I always would have sang country music in our house. It always would have been on.
And did somebody else in your house, like, were they a singer? Were they playing it in the background?
Yeah, my two older sisters, they're fabulous singers, and they had their own band as well at the time, and they would have done like some pop music, rock music, and of course country music too. So it was great to see them when I was growing up too and listen to their beautiful voices. The eldest, Teresa, she has got that kind of Celtic-y, traddy voice. And Nicole, she has a beautiful country voice. So it was great that sometimes I would go out and sing with them as well, and kind of, I suppose, learn the craft too. And
wow,
as well, get to see that, wow, I actually really, really do enjoy this.
And where would you be going? Like, where would you and your sisters be going to perform?
Do you know what? It would just be venues at the time. Sometimes it could have been our local pubs, or there could have been a local dance on. Sometimes we would have done some university gigs and they would have done, you know, like their refreshers week, whatnot. And we would have been the 2-hour guest performing at it. So I've got all those like old photos of me, and it's like, I was only, I think, about 16 or 17 at the time, but the crack we had, it was just brilliant, Sergi, and it's lovely as well to look back now and say, oh, remember that time we done this, and blah, blah, blah. But it taught me a lot as well. And of course, like, as you know yourself, when you're up and you're speaking in front of people or you're singing in front of people, it takes a lot of guts, you know, and you're really exposing yourself to people as well, and exposing yourself to, I suppose, their thoughts or what they think of you as well. So it takes a lot of I suppose practice in a way as well, to learn how to cope with all that and how to cope with being on stage and holding your nerve somewhat. So
like, say when you were in school, how did you handle those nerves then?
Do you know, oh my goodness, for me, I am always the most nervous performing in front of people I know. So of course, back in the day at school, like, everybody knows everybody. So I suppose in my head, I just kept trying to pretend everybody wasn't there, even though I could see them. But concentrate on the words, I suppose, at that point more so, and just give it a go. And the older I got, the more I came to realize that it's okay that if you make a mistake, you know, everybody's only human. And I made a lot of mistakes, and I still do, but
for sure.
Everyone's so forgiving. But yeah, back then it was even more nerve-wracking than it would be now.
Yeah, and like, when you're saying mistakes there, like, do you ever remember like making a mistake when you were younger and like somebody being there for you, being like, you know, it's okay, Cleona, like, or who was there to comfort you when you did make mistakes?
I remember I was performing in front of my whole school. There was some event and they were giving out awards and whatnot. They called me up to sing, and you had to walk up 4 steps. And of course, just as I was walking up those steps, didn't I miss the very last step walking up the stairs, and I fell in the pile.
Oh no.
So of course, the whole assembly hall and all the years, well, they got a good giggle. My face was bright red. And then of course, on top of that, I had to go and sing. But afterwards, my sister Nicole was there, and she was like, don't be worrying about it, you were great, and my friends at the time. But as for now, of course, I've got my husband Simon, and his brothers, they play music with me as well. So it's great that I've got a real family unit as well, and people that I really trust, because it's so important. You need that. You need that kind of safety mechanism around you as well. So
yeah,
I'm lucky to have that for sure.
Oh, and I love that you've brought that in about like having like a family unit around you. And I know we spoke about this earlier, but it's so important, no matter what you're doing, no matter what industry that you're doing, that you literally have really good people around you, because as you say, you are going to make mistakes.
For sure. And you know what, like, and it's so good, because like, you can really see social media. I know it's got its flaws, but it's got its ups as well. And there's so many people nowadays, you know, speaking out in so many topics and saying, you know, everything is not picture perfect, like you may see on social media. And I love that. And I love that raw authenticity that people really, really show themselves. And as I just think that it's really helped me as well as a performer, just to be a little bit more kinder to myself if that does happen. And it's especially with younger girls and boys coming up now singing music or doing any form of entertainment or putting themselves out there on social media. Not that I don't give a shit.
You're allowed to say that.
You're allowed to say it unfiltered. About what people think. You always do. But I think you have a better way of coping the older you get. And again, it's about surrounding yourself with the right people too. It's so important.
I think so. And like when you were in school, did you surround yourself, like say in primary school, did you surround yourself with really good people, or what were your friends like in school? Because so many times it happens, like you hear people saying, oh, I still have my friends from primary school, or you move on. And, you know, friendship breakups is a big thing on social media now. And I think it's so important to talk about that kind of relationship with friends. So like, do you still have your friends from primary school, or what way did that pan
not
out?
Primary school, I did move, well, it was only 15 miles down the road, but I did move school when I was coming into primary six. I'm not sure what year that is down south, so it was only about 11. Okay. So I was coming into my last year of primary school, and we moved to a new school, and that transition was quite hard as well, because of course you have all your wee friends from when you were younger. But I did keep my friends in secondary school. They're so lovely. I don't get to see them as much. Obviously, life goes on for everybody. But I honestly, me and my friends, we were like the little geeks in the school. Like, I was so painfully quiet.
Okay.
And everybody always, you know, they're like, how can you be quiet and get up and sing and do that? But I was like awkwardly shy. Like, I was the kid that if a teacher would be like, Cleona, what's the answer to that? I would just like break out in a sweat, and I'd be like, oh my god, you know, this is just awful. Or I'd always keep my head down, don't look at me. But I don't know how the transition came that I was able to go up on stage and somewhat, you know, expose myself. I don't even know if that's the correct word, but you know what I mean.
But maybe it was your way of expressing yourself, because if you weren't speaking, that maybe that I always find like that happens quite a lot with musicians. They seem to be very quiet, but then this is how they express themselves, is on stage.
Yeah, express themselves. That's it, for sure. And I suppose I created somewhat of a persona that,
of course,
okay, this is Cleona the singer. I'm now on stage. And but yeah, I was a very, very shy child and teenager. I was kind of getting out of myself. And when I hit about 17, 18, then I was able to, well, at least have a conversation with people. I sound like such a weird person, but no, it was, yeah, it was just a painfully shy kid. But I think music really helped me as well come out of myself and just be the best person I suppose I could be.
And who do you think, like, who was in your life that brought that out in you, like brought you out to feel safe to express yourself?
I had an unbelievable music teacher in secondary school, actually three of them, and her name was Mrs. Dinsmore, and she actually passed away when I was nearly at the end of my school years. And she gave me so much courage. She was like, Cleona, you can do this, don't be afraid, and if you forget your words, don't worry. But she was always so motivating, she was always so positive. And we were talking about that earlier, it's so important to surround yourself with people with the correct energy. And she just really had my back. And I suppose as well, when you're trying to figure out who you are as a person, you need somebody like that that's going to be like, go for it, don't worry if you fall flat on your face, which I did. But just keep going. And she definitely helped me in my early years, you know, really, really not be afraid, I suppose, for sure.
I love that you had her, because I always think like, you never know where you would be if you didn't have some people in your life that have
believed in you.
Really believed in you. Like, it's so important that you have people like that in your life. That's so lovely that you did have someone like her.
She was amazing.
And were your friends supportive in school with your singing, or were they sporty? What was...
No, they were definitely, they didn't do any music, but they were so supportive of my singing, and they were just lovely girls. And anytime that I would have been doing the school plays, they would have went to see me at, you know, because our school plays in Cookstown School were huge. They were like in that part of the country, in Tyrone, they were massive, and people from all over would have come to see the plays. Like, there was so much work and actual behind the scenes and production went into it. It was nearly nearly as good, nearly, as a West End for kids at the time, you know. So, yeah, they were pretty legendary, and my friends always would have came out and supported me and, you know, even paid in to see me, and that meant so much. And, you know, they've always been texting me, my, like, friend Claire McKelly, and she would have, you know, sent a message and said, oh, well done, I've seen you and such, and even though I don't get to see them as much as I would love to, it's lovely to see that you still have that support all these years later, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So, like, I know everyone, like, moves on and they get older and they, like, life just gets busy. But would you like to have, like, obviously your life is very different than your friends, I can imagine. And you're all constantly on the road. I'm sure they're just as busy, but it is just a completely different life.
That's it.
It really, really is. So would you like to have more, like, do you find it tough to have friendships because you're on the road? I know you have a husband.
I definitely do think it affects friendships. There's no doubt about it, because we are passengers, basically. They're working, you know, Monday to Friday, and I'm working basically the weekends and nighttime. So you don't get, their free time is my work time. So, you know, when I was growing up and, you know, I was gigging or out and about, you just don't get to have, I suppose, those experiences with your friends, and as other friends would have, and I would have heard them talking about, oh, wasn't that a great night, and blah, blah, blah. And of course, I missed out on that. However, on the other side of the token, I couldn't be more grateful for my job, because it is what I love to do, and I never take that for granted. And unfortunately, it's just one of those things, is that I had to give up some of those experiences with my friends, and also not get to see them as much because of my job. But I have to say, they've always been so understanding, and they never ever held that against me, and they always included me when they were chatting about things that maybe I wasn't there for. So I always really appreciated them for that too. So I always felt like one of the group.
Okay, well, that's so lovely. That's so important, and it's so nice that you did have that. You do. I feel like musicians sacrifice so much. Like, you miss out on a lot of events, a lot of, like, just hanging out with your friends, having solid friendships, because you're on the road so much. Like, what was the biggest thing that you had to sacrifice for your career?
Oh, for my career. I think it would be just those relationships. I suppose progressing probably that bit more. I suppose the time that I get to spend not only with friends but also family, you know, as well. My family members, I don't get to see them as much as I would like to see them, and that would be the biggest sacrifice, is just the time spent. And I suppose I never got to really many cousins' weddings. You know, so again, everybody always was so understanding, but I always had that little voice inside saying, oh, I kind of feel bad, you know, I didn't get to celebrate these monument moments with all my cousins or friends, you know. So I suppose that would be probably the biggest sacrifice.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, like, when you were starting out, social media probably wasn't as big when you first started out, right?
No, come here. I just figured out Instagram. And then what did they do? They bring TikTok. I'm like, what the hell? Like, how am I supposed to navigate TikTok? It's like a minefield to me. But when I was starting out, 2015, the main focus then was probably Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just Facebook, and then Instagram.
Because you have a huge following.
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram is great. TikTok, I'm still trying to get going. But yeah, it's great now, and it's lovely that people want to follow me as well. And it's social media. Of course, there's highs, there's lows to it, but it's so great for artists to get their music out nowadays. I know YouTube as well would have been a big thing back in the day, but it seems like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok.
So did you always sing, or did you have other jobs before you became a singer?
Yeah, I actually, so during my time at university, I worked at my auntie's creche, and I was in my auntie's creche from when I was about 16 to I was about 23. Wow. And of course, university in between. And then I would have done a bit of singing as well. My sisters and I, we would have sang at weddings and, you know, the ceremony part and some evening dues as well. So that was all good. So there was a nice mixture going on when I was growing up. So, okay. Oh, and as well, I was, mommy always keeps me going, I was made in Manhattan.
What do you
for
mean?
For a while, I was cleaning hotel rooms and stuff as well in a hotel in Cookstown. And I lasted 6 months.
Wow, so well done.
It was better. I thought it was only going to last 6 weeks, and I done that when I was 15 as well. So yeah, I made in Manhattan, and I worked in a creche and sang as well.
That is a big mixture of jobs to have. So you went to university. Did you study? You went to study to be a teacher?
Yes. I done music first, and then I went to Edinburgh, and then I done my PGDE. They call it over there. It's the same as PGCE for teaching. So.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a great experience and had a lot of fun.
Looking for a meaningful career? Perhaps you have a natural love for helping others. Perhaps you looked after a friend or family member. A career in home care can be very fulfilling. Home Instead have full and part-time positions. Training and support will be provided. Search Home Instead Careers or visit careers.homeinstead.ie.
Home Instead, to us it's personal.
So how long were you a teacher for then?
I was a teacher for 3 years in total. Yeah, three years.
Do you miss being a teacher?
Do you know?
Be honest, Cleona, be honest.
Oh, of course, unfiltered with Sarah Jane.
I miss the kids so much.
So much. No, truth be told, I did enjoy it. However, my first love has always and always will be singing. So I was like, I remember sitting down and I was chatting to my mum, and I came back after my year's experience in Edinburgh, and I got a maternity post in Belfast, and I was teaching there. And I remember saying to her, oh my goodness, I just miss singing. And I love country singing. And even though I'd never sang it publicly, you know, within the country scene, I really wanted to do that. And she just said, you know what, Cleona, you have nothing to lose. Give it a go. And I said, but like, what about like everybody else? You know, your student loans and all this all has to be paid. She goes, give it a go. And if it doesn't work, well, at least then, you know, you've no regrets.
Yeah.
So I always live by that. Never let fear hold you back.
Okay.
And so yeah, and away I went, and I tried the country singing, and thank the good Lord I never looked back.
Yeah, for sure. But have you always been this ambitious? And like when you were starting out, it's easy to look back now.
Yeah.
As you say, everything's after working out. But it's easy to look back now and say, do you know, look how far you've actually came. But at that time when you didn't see how far you could actually go,
yeah,
how far did you think you'd go?
Well, I remember I was pulled over at the side of the motorway one time, and I wasn't going too far because I ran out of diesel. And it was just, it was like everything was going wrong. And this was at the very start. And I was like, what am I doing? You know, the money is going low, and you put so, like, I put so much of my own savings towards that as well. I'd done so much homework into how can I get into this scene? What do I have to do? I'd done my own singles and everything. And it was just like, wow, all this. And it was only at the start, all this money and hard work, and here I am at the side of the road. And I was like, how am I going to get any further? But I have to say, you know, I am so thankful, like, the work, the graft that I put in. And not, again, sound in any way arrogant, but I think I am very proud of myself that how well I've done within the scene here in Ireland. And because there is so much hard work, you know, people who come to the shows maybe only assume this is a 2-hour show and you're done. No, it's not. There's so much that goes into it. I think it's a good thing for people nowadays to say, you know what? Yeah, I am proud of myself. I work my backside off.
Yeah. You should be, though. You really, really should be.
Tell me back.
Yeah.
But all those, and I still remember that time sitting at the side of the road thinking, you know, what the heck am I doing? But it just makes, like, how far I've come that much more sweeter. It wasn't handed to me, and I'm thankful that I worked hard and I got there.
Yeah, you absolutely deserve you deserve to be so proud of yourself. And that's such a thing. I don't think enough of us actually do that.
Yeah.
Because we can be so critical of ourselves.
Totally.
Oh, and be like, I should be here. I should be doing this. And then to just sit back and be like, do you know what? This is how far I've come. Without losing sight of like where you want to go.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and Sergian, I swear to God, I am honestly one of the most critical, hardest people on myself. You know, like everybody always says, oh, who do you want to be like or whatnot? You know, I look up to so many people, yes. And I love so many amazing singers. But I'm always, and I've always said this, I'm always in competition with myself.
Yeah.
competition being that I'm trying to push myself. I was always so critical and like, Cleona, that's not good enough. Or, what was that? What way were you singing this? And what did you say that? And the most horrible critical person. And I thought to myself, you know what? This has to stop. I need to give myself a wee bit more self-love. Again, not in an arrogant way, but in a way that is good for my own mental health as well. So it's not a bad thing to say you're proud of yourself, especially when you've achieved something, you know.
For sure. I can't help but think when I'm speaking to you, I'm like, I know you're an incredible singer. I know you're an incredibly hard worker. I know your shows are so, so good. And what I'm going to ask you is, and I think it deserves a mention. Now, there could be some women looking at this being like, it's not about how she looked on stage, but your outfits are so incredible. Like, and I'm just there going, that has to be hard work too. Like, constantly having fabulous outfits.
Don't talk.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. It's now, like, I wouldn't go out in the outfits that I wore on stage, right? Because the outfits I wore on stage are completely, like, rhinestoned.
Yeah.
And I think that's lovely for stage because, of course, it catches the lights and it looks very professional.
Yeah.
But trying to find these rhinestone outfits are beyond difficult and something as well, like, I have to take into consideration as well, okay, how high is the stage? You know, there's so much that you have to do,
Okay, I didn't know this.
Movement-wise, and even, like,
never thought of
heels and all that, you know, there's, and not only that, I have got a pack as well, just like the one I'm wearing today behind my jeans, that needs to fit in somewhere too for my in-ear monitors. So there's a lot of thought goes behind some of the outfits. They might not look great, but
they do.
You're very kind, but I'm usually just a jeans girl. I just like throwing on jeans and I'm definitely more of a casual person, but on stage, of course you have to put on that little bit of, glitz and glam, so, and it's fun as well to dress up.
Of course. So what do you do, like, before? I feel like back in the day I definitely would have been like, I can't rewear that outfit, whereas now I'm like, I am so rewearing that. So are you like, you don't mind rewearing an outfit?
No, I was the exact same as you, and I was like, oh my god, no, I can't put that on again. Like, what was my mind thought in that? I would wear the same outfit no problem now. And I have done now, because like some of these, the outfits are expensive as well, so like. And not only that, I want to get war out of make use out of the money I've spent, I suppose.
Exactly.
But I love that mentality now, that everybody's like, yeah, I'm going to wear the same outfit, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I love as well now, people are wearing like flats, like Converse.
Yeah.
I remember when I was like going to discos and all, like back in the day, I sound like I'm 100, but like 15 years ago, I was wearing these heels, and there's some photos of me and they are not flattering. I could hardly walk. I was like Bambi by the end of the night. So I'm loving like the real, you know, the
casual
vibe. Yeah, for sure. That's right up my street.
Oh, so am I. Cleona, I know from going to your shows, I know from being around country music fans, that they are probably the best fan base that any musician could ever ask for. Tell me about your fans.
They're really honestly so supportive. And like the people that I've met throughout this past 8 years, they've actually become nearly like friends now as well. Because they are taking time out of their day to follow us up and down the country. And not only that, we're doing our very first sun holiday, Sizzle in the Sun. And they're coming the whole way over to Spain now as well. It's like, wow, what lovely people. And I love as well, like, taking time to actually get to know people and seeing, you know, where they're from, whatnot. But now, like, I've got to meet so many incredible people. I'm like, oh, how's the family doing? And how's such and such? And, oh, you were, at the last time I was chatting to you, you said you were going to meet, you know, your friend down here. How did that go? And it's lovely, the rapport you build up with, you know, such wonderful, I wouldn't even say fans at this point, really friends. And you don't get that in any other scene
other than
the Irish country scene. Because I think any other scenes, very, there's always that wall where the performer is only on stage and that's it. Sometimes you don't even get a meet and greet bar if you pay another 100 or what euro, you know. And at that, there's only a limited amount. Whereas with us within the country scene, we would be standing there until the very last person is up to us, which could be sometimes an hour and a half later, you know, I think that's a real testament to everybody within that scene and that genre of music, that, you know, we do care about who comes to see us. We know the value of money, and it's lovely that people want to come and see us and support us. And you know what, I just think there's no harm in going to chat to everybody afterwards and say, thanks a million for coming, appreciate it.
But have you ever had an encounter with a fan like that where they just went above and beyond and or done something crazy? Like, has anyone ever tattooed you on their body? I don't know.
There's now this, he's a lovely, lovely man and he's been supporting us for years. I'm obviously not going to say names or whatever. But it was actually Christmas time and we were down at our parents' house and we were all just sitting around and I heard the doorbell going. We were all looking, thinking, everybody's here. Who are we missing? So, next thing.
Oh no.
This man comes in, again, I'm not going to say his name, but yeah. He came in and we're like, oh, hello, how's it going? And
did you recognize him then for the shows or no?
Oh yeah, I recognized who he was, but I didn't realize, you know, he knew whereabouts we were at.
The fan knew where you lived.
I was so nice to him, and he came in. He sat down and mummy, she has this lovely big round table. And anyway, we were all just sitting around the table and of course they pulled up a chair and we're like, want a cup of tea, whatnot, blah, blah, blah. And so we're sitting down and we were just like, oh, what's your plans for over Christmas? And just, you know, general small chit chat.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, Cleona, I have something to show you. So he perched himself away from the table. He started to
popped out his willy.
No. It didn't go that far now. But no, he started to unbuckle his belt and he'd taken his
I've no idea
up.
Where this is going.
And then all of us like, no. We were like, what the heck is going on here? We were like, no. And he goes, no, I just have to show you something. We were like, we don't want to see.
We don't want to see.
This, I swear to God, we were just like, all of us were dumbfounded. And the next thing, he pulled up his shirt and just he had my logo. I mean, it was a big, massive C logo.
The belly button in the middle.
And the gold around in the big C. And I was like, and what did I say? I was like, oh my goodness, I was thinking of changing that logo. And no, I came by me before realizing, I was like, oh my God, Cleona, you are an idiot. What? No. And he was like, what? And I was like, oh no, I'm only joking now. And I didn't after that because I would have felt bad.
He would have had to get it off and got it redone.
This was not a tiny tattoo. This was, he was definitely a fan. He went full on big C logo tattoo. But it was really, really funny and shocking at the same time.
So what were your family thinking?
Well, first of all, they had a good laugh anyway afterwards because we were like, oh my God, we didn't
know. No, what were they like when he was there?
When he was there, we were like laughing but shocked and didn't know what to do. And then he pulled up.
Was your
husband
there?
Yes, Simon was there too. And we were just like, oh my God. We didn't know where to look. But it was such a lovely gesture.
I know.
It really was. And as I said,
a little creepy. At the same time. I said it, not you. It's fine.
My hands are clean. But he's a nice man.
Ah, no, I hear what you're saying. I'd say it was so mad.
It was an interesting evening now, for sure.
I can imagine. So how did it end? Like, what? How did you get him out of the house?
Do you know what? I don't even know how. I think the conversation, it was a bit of a blur afterwards because I think we were really shell-shocked. We were just like, did that just happen? So every Christmas now, we hear the doorbell. We're just like, could it be? Could it be him?
Did he get another tattoo when we update the logo? Oh imagine the day you do update your logo.
Oh, I couldn't.
You can't do it.
I could, and I had it out of me because I was thinking of doing it at the time. I was like, I couldn't do it on the camera.
I
actually went through all that pain for me. Do you know? I was like, no, I can't.
And it was like proper big tattoo.
It was huge. I mean, huge. Yeah. He's branded.
Oh my God, fair play. He got branded by Cleona.
Yeah. God love him.
So like, I always think, so when I was on tour with Foster and Allen, I was by far the youngest person there and I was dead. Like I was wrecked. We got off the flight, the lads were raring to go straight away and I was like, lads, I'm dead. I need to go to bed. Mm-hmm. And they were just go. Like there was no stopping them. Nothing fazed them. Now, it was like their 20th time to go over to Australia to tour. But I was like, honestly, I was shocked at the hard work that goes into being on tour. Yeah. And it must be like, it's such an emotional whirlwind in the sense of, you could be jet lagged, you could be just tired from traveling, like even if it was just driving like from one end of the country to another.
That's it.
Like, how do you find all of that?
It's really, really, really tough.
Yeah,
you know, it really is. And people as well don't realize, just as you said, like it's not only the being on stage, but it's the journeys. They really kill me. And not only that, the time of night you're coming home, and it's so dangerous as well. And like like I've heard of awful, like so many awful accidents that have happened that are at night as well. So it's just like, there's been so many times I've had to like pull over and to sleep. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just, it wrecks you. And then of course, when you're doing a tour, it's consecutive nights. So like by the end of it, you don't know whether you're up, you're down, you're round and round. And you also have to have that energy as well to be on stage, to perform, to sing. To everybody knows, you know the way we were talking about energies earlier. Yeah. You know if somebody's kind of a little bit down or maybe just no energy. You know when somebody's upbeat.
Yeah.
And you have to give every ounce of your being to that stage performance. And for me, anytime like before I go on tour, I have to make sure that, you know, I have to have some level of fitness. Not only for, you know, being able to move around on stage, but I can't breathe properly. And when I can't breathe properly, like I can't get through a song. And then, and that in turn hurts my voice. So anytime I'm out walking or, you know, walking, running, I sing out loud.
Oh my God, I love
like,
that.
Working 9 to 5, what a way. And you know, I'm running and running. Like people are looking, like I'm not even kidding you. I don't care who's there. I have to have, if I don't do this to get my breathing right, I do look and see, and I have to
I
say,
love like, that you do that.
Absolutely crazy.
But yeah, running and singing.
I got some funny looking looks this past while for sure, but come here, I have to just keep doing it.
You really
the only way that I can ensure that I'm going to be stage ready and ready for tour, do you know? Oh,
that's so good. So what is your pre-show rituals? Before you go on stage, what do you religiously do?
Okay, so I would always go, and all these, oh, crazy, like vocal warm-ups. Then I would steam myself, which is basically hot air going through down my throat. Sometimes I might have a wee hot whiskey and a honey, just depends. And then what else would I do? Sometimes I would jump up and down just to get the blood flowing, and that's it. Then I'd be ready to rock. Yeah. I literally have to be in my own room because I'm still, it's like for me an exam. I'm still revising everything. I'm making sure I know where, okay, the solos are for the instrumentation parts and my words and what I'm going to do in between and where I have to be standing. So it really is studying for an exam, and especially that first few days until I get into the swing of things and it becomes second nature, then I would totally be kind of by myself. I like just to be, have my own little space by myself. And then after that, then I'm fine when I'm comfortable with what's happening. Then I'd be cool, do you know?
Oh, I totally get it. And like, it's funny because I feel like you often hear when people like meet somebody famous or when they meet somebody that they idolize and they're like, oh, they're different. And I'm like, no, you have to give them a break. Like they could be like that. If somebody maybe met you just before you went on stage, you could be like, as you said, you're just there revising. You're in a different headspace
100%
than like this exciting thing of like meeting somebody. Like when you're out doing your meet and greets, you're in that headspace.
Yeah, for sure.
And then like people might get like a different impression of him, but like, oh, she wasn't that, I'm not saying this happened with you, but like, oh, she wasn't that friendly. It's like, no, because she was in the zone. Yeah. She was in a different zone.
That's so true. Like that's 100% true and so well put as well. It is a zone for sure, do you know? And maybe if, say, example, you're trying to think of everything and you're maybe walking through a lobby way and you probably just don't see somebody.
I know.
You know, some people could be like, well, she hadn't even talked to me. You know, even you genuinely, it was an honest mistake and you didn't see someone, you know. It's tough, especially when you're starting that tour. You really are in that zone, and I have to be in a quiet space to really remember everything. And at the end of the day, you're doing that for the people coming to see you. You know, you want to put on your best performance.
A lot of famous people are misunderstood because of that. People don't realize you're working.
Mm.
You're actually working.
Yeah.
So like you have to be in the zone.
Again, you have to feel comfortable with how you are presented and how things are before you actually give a performance. So you know what? I this conversation, you know, it's actually great that you're highlighting it because I always just like to try and be me.
Yeah.
Do you know? I don't want to be like, okay, I'm going to be this way one time and another way the next, because that is not authentic to me.
Yeah.
I just want to be Cleona. I just want to act as I would sitting here with you or sitting at home. You know, this is honestly always me, and just chill. And that way I think then if people perceive you wrong, then that's on them.
I totally agree. So, I love that you said that.
That was a good answer.
That was good answer. Yeah.
I'm giving myself some pats on the back here today.
And you said there about being chill. What do you do to chill?
Oh my God, lie in a pile and watch TV. And a glass of red. Do you know what? I think because like we're always out all the time and performing, I love just chillaxing and doing nothing or having nice food at home or even going to a restaurant, you know. But I am very boring these days. I don't like to do anything too mental. I wouldn't be going out raving. So yeah, just relaxing, a nice bottle of red and some good food.
You recently got married to Simon.
Yes.
Who's also in the music industry.
Yes.
Was that really important to you to be with somebody who was in the industry, or was that even an option?
No, like, it never even crossed my mind, you know. I honestly for a long time always felt like, oh, I probably won't even marry someone, you know. I just saw it because I was so concentrating on my music at the time and to trying to get to the place that I wanted to be at. And then it just happened so organically after Dancing with the Stars. I approached Simon about creating a band because he's a fabulous musician, a drummer, singer, and
now did you approach him because you fancied him?
No.
No.
I would never do that. I stalked him. Oh, what are you talking?
You knew how to use Instagram then.
Oh, I sure did.
Into the DM.
It's like, hi there. Want to meet up? No, so it was just, so I rang him and he was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And then we created a band and we were honestly just friends at the start. Of course there was an attraction there, you know, it'd be silly not to say that, but
yeah.
And then it just grew from there, and he's just honestly like my best friend. I sound so soppy, but
oh,
he's just
that.
A really lovely person and, you know, my biggest cheerleader as well. And
anyone I've been talking to recently always say that, like, it's so important to have your partner that really, really supports you in everything that you do, because you're with them all of the time.
That's it.
They're your life partner. They have to support you in what you're doing and be behind your dreams, and equally you be there for them and be behind them what they want to do and support them.
Oh, definitely, for sure. And, you know, I know it doesn't work for everybody. Like, of course, we work together and we're pretty much 24/7 with each other. However, for Simon and I, it really does work. You know,
yeah.
He's like me. He's very laid back, and we're just a really good rapport, and I'm so thankful for that as well. I just really just love our lifestyle. I love that we get to perform together. We have so much in common as well, you
yeah.
know, outside of music, and it's just great to have someone that you can just rely on, and that really everything else then just falls away, you know, all the worry, all the small things. So
for
sure. It's good.
Yeah, and I have to say, I absolutely love your song that you recently recorded together.
Islands in the Stream.
I love it.
You it sounds better than that, I
you
promise.
You watched the Beckham movie, that, or the Beckham documentary.
Oh my goodness, I did indeed. I was like, OMG.
Oh my God.
See, I should have even done that dance for TikTok, but of course I didn't.
Yes, exactly. So,
oh yeah, it was cool.
Did you watch the Beckham documentary and then say, do you know what? Like, were you sitting beside each other? Like, everyone else was sitting beside each other going, we should make a TikTok video. Whereas you and Simon were sitting beside each other going, we need to record that.
No, we already had that video and all in the can. Like, it was all completely done. So weird. I was like, oh my God, is it?
It was meant
Dolly's Island in the Stream, and I was like, wow, that it was obviously meant to be. So yeah, I know we had all that done prior to actually that
insane.
Documentary, yeah.
Oh.
But it went so great for us. Like, it was honestly the highest viewership I've had of any of my videos.
It was so beautiful.
It
was beautifully
you.
Shot, it was beautifully sang, everything was perfection about it. Have you ever met her?
No, but she did receive my album. Margot O'Donnell
yeah.
would be friends with Dolly Parton.
That's right.
She sent it over to her, and Margot rang me up. It was actually last year. And she says, hi, Cleona, can you talk? And I goes, I can, Margot. And she says, oh, she got the album. And I was like, who is she on about? I was like, who got the album? She's like, Dolly got the album.
Just Dolly Parton got your album.
Yeah, as casual as,
oh
as you can say it. And I was like, my heart literally stopped. I was like, sir, what? She got my album. What'd you think? Did she hit it? Did she like it? She's like, her assistant went in one Monday morning and give the Dolly Songbook album to her. And she was like, who's this little girl singing my songs?
Oh my God.
And then, of course, the assistant said, this is a girl from Ireland. Her name's Cleona Hagen. And she put it on and she loved it. And that just made my whole birthdays, my whole life, everything. I was just made up. I was like, if Dolly Parton gives that stamp of approval, Well, thank you, sweet Jesus.
You've done your job and you've done it well.
Thank you. Oh my God,
to have Dolly Parton having your album in her hands is insane.
I know, absolutely. I couldn't get over it. But Margaret was so funny. How she just said, yeah, she got your album. Like, it was just, you know.
Anyone down the road
down
there.
Down the road there, I got the album. I was like, hey.
She's
like, Dolly.
She got
so,
the album.
I was so thankful as well to Margaret for doing that. But of course, it was just, it made my year.
You do a really good impression on Dolly Parton. I don't know what she actually says, but you might do it for us now. Something about her hair. Like, where'd you get your hair? Or how long did it take you to get your hair done?
Oh, yeah.
Go on. I do know it.
So somebody once said to Dolly, oh, Dolly, I love your hair. You know, where do you get it done? And she's like, well, honey, I don't know because I'm never there when it's getting done.
I remember
But I have an even better one. Okay, this one I just crack up every time I do it. So Dolly went to the doctors and the doctor said, Dolly, I think you need to lose some weight. And I recommend you start jogging. And Dolly was like, well, doctor, I tried jogging many times, but every time I had to stop. And the doctor was like, why's that, Dolly? She was like, because every single time I jogged, well, I just went ahead and gave myself two big black eyes.
That's probably my favorite one of hers, but she's got some incredible sense. You know, she's just brilliant.
Oh my God, I love it.
If you had one performance that you could do with Dolly Parton, what would it be?
Oh,
cool. And where?
Oh, Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
It has to be.
The iconic place itself. And The Coat of Many Colors. That song. It's my favorite Dolly song.
Nice.
I love the words. You know, it's such a beautiful message. And just the whole melody of it. It's really cool. So, yeah definitely Coat of Many Colors.
Now, you're a little bit cooler than Dolly. Because I think you have your own stamp. But I don't think Dolly Parton has her own stamp. Is that right?
Well, oh yes, I was going to say,
like,
I totally forgot about that.
How could you forget you had your own stamp?
I totally forgot about that. Yes, I got my own stamp with Anpost.
Can I have it?
Yeah.
The whole collection.
The whole collection is brilliant. So there was myself, Philomena, Nathan and Big Tom. So I was so honoured when they approached me and said, Cleona, we would love you to be part of Anpost Stamp. And I was like, cool, little old me.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, please. So it was a great honor and a great accolade as well to have. And yeah, I can't believe it. It was so weird as well.
Did you get any fan mail coming in the door with your stamps?
And then all I could see was my face. I was like, this is so crazy. But it's so funny because the stamp that they actually chose, it actually looks like I'm kind of giving the middle finger. I was like, it's a live act. Did you
notice
that? It was like a live act.
I knew you weren't, obviously.
Yeah, I was like, choose.
Fuck you all.
Yeah, it was like this year and I was like, oh my goodness, is it just me or does it look like I'm flipping everybody off?
Oh, that is amazing. No, I think that's really, really cool. And I just noticed then as well, the Spice Girls, they have actually just been honoured their own stamp.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
Got there before.
Dolly
then.
Doesn't have one. So Cleona Hagen and Spice Girls have their very
own
stamp.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
I love it. I love it. No, and I was, as I said, I was very, very honoured and it's lovely to have as well. Look back on
for sure. Cleona, what's next for you?
Well, we are doing my very first sun trip, as I was saying, Sizzle in the Sun, and that's going to be at the end of April in sunny Spain, Huelva, and that's going to be one full week, and your lovely granda as well is coming out, Mick Foster and Alan, and I cannot wait for that, and there's going to be Johnny Brady, there's going to be a host of all amazing artists, not only that, we're going to have dancing, we're going to have lots of games, and it's just going to be one fun week of performances and sun and cocktails, of course.
Love it.
And then we are doing, as I said, the Dolly Songbook Tour. That's kicking off in March. We're going to be up and down the country. We have over 15 dates. And then summer is festivals. It's pretty full on. So the next time you see me, I will have more grey hair.
You're so busy.
Oh, it's busy. But it's great. It's great for sure. I'm loving it. It's good fun.
You're kicking off the new year with an absolute bang. And you're going to be absolutely incredible. Cleona, thank you so much for coming on the very first season of Unfiltered. It was an absolute blast.
I loved it. Thank
you so much.
I
love your honesty. I love your humor. You're absolutely brilliant and best luck with everything you do this year.
Thank you so much, Sarah Jane. Thank you.